to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Been awaiting the arrival of State Senator Gerald Gunter, if he's able to make it. The way these things go, though, just to let you know, sometimes we get sometimes there's committee hearings or things like that, and they get held over or they go long. So we'll wait and see if he's able to make it or not. But in the meantime, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth just set to join us at 11 o'clock hour, and then State Senator Andrew Jones. As always, text line 251-343-0106. You need to get in touch with the program. Utilize that text line, and I will try to respond accordingly. A couple of things I want to get to here that we haven't gotten to. The debt ceiling discussions still going on. Will they or won't they get a deal done? And just hearing from Republicans, they sound optimistic. I don't think that we really have a good sense of what the cards are that the Democrats have, but I don't think they're as rosy as they make it out to be. So that may not be. I mean, here it is, May 24th. I mean, you know, you do have some time left. They will probably push it all the way to the end. So that is it on the radar for now. Our next guest has arrived. We're very pleased to be joined by a friend of the program, State Senator Gerald Gunter. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, sir. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Y'all had a tumultuous day yesterday, didn't you?
We did. It was a long, long day, but we made it through, thank goodness, and now we're ready for another fresh day here in the Senate.
What are we, that was probably going to be something pretty bumpy for you guys. You expecting more of these bumpy days, or is that an anomaly?
It was an anomaly for yesterday. We really thought it was going to be a smooth day. It turned in and transitioned into a one-bill calendar, and even though we had about 30 bills on the calendar. And we stayed here for really the longest day we've had of the whole session. And, you know, at the end of session, you never know what's going to happen. You can predict it, but it changes in 2 seconds around here. And so I think that today will be an interesting day. I don't think it'll be as long as it was last night unless we go through all the bills, and we could do that. So we're planning in the Senate to stay late every night from now until we get out.
Were you anticipating that? I mean, you said you weren't, I guess, because y'all had a big calendar yesterday, but
we were not, really. I mean, we were not expecting that, and then it came up where there was a lot of multiple issues with a particular bill. We all talked about it. We tried to go back and forth and negotiate it, and that's normally what you do, right? You get at the mic and you debate the bill back and forth. You say, well, let's hold up on this. Let's go off the floor. Let's negotiate. And how do we figure this bill out? It was just tough to negotiate because neither party really wanted to change their mindset. And so, you know, we stayed there and did what we needed to do. And to be honest with you, part of what you would do up here is just be able to talk and filibuster so they have enough time to try to negotiate. And through those negotiations, it was just going one direction or the other. And usually it does. But in the end, you know, one party won, and that was where we needed to be. And so we're ready for a fresh day. But you can't hold grudges up here. You can't be emotional up here. This is just pure politics and what's best for the state of Alabama.
Yeah, and just for our listeners' sake, last night they went late into the night in the Alabama Senate. House got out a little earlier. Typically, it's the other way around. Right. You guys get your business done real fast. But it was the changes to the expansion of the Alabama Accountability Act. Senator Stutz wanted his Price Act heard. There were other issues with that legislation that the Democrats objected to. So in the end, it really kind of forced this cloture vote, right?
That's exactly what happened. Yeah, there was some people, including myself, that just said, you know, this is the Accountability Act, you know, the AAA Act is where it goes to failing schools. And I shouldn't say failing. We're not saying that word anymore. We're saying priority schools, because it can either be on the report card the state gives every school in the state a grade, A through F, just like you would on a report card. But any school that's a D or an F is able to have scholarships through this $30 million, plus we added $10 million to it this year, so $40 million that comes out of the ETF, so that you can give scholarships to students that want to that transfer to different schools if they so see fit, and their parents obviously see fit. And so the question is for rural districts like myself, right?
You don't have any.
I don't have any of those that are failing schools, and so that money's not going to my district. And so what can I do with $40 million was my only point that I was making at the mic last night, saying, listen, there's a lot I can do for $40 million, and how do I need to vote for this if in my district, which is the people that brought me to here to be able to represent them and be their voice, how do I take $40 million out of the budget and not get anything for that? So I just wanted to, you know, stand up and speak for the people that, I represent.
When you said that last night, you know, my reporter we had up there, we went through the list of failing schools. You know, you'd be surprised, but most of your colleagues on the Republican side don't have failing schools in their Senate district. So
that's correct. And so it was kind of odd that the Democrats were filibustering this, because honestly, a lot of those are in the Black Belt area, and some of the people that were in the Big Four, right, in Montgomery, Mobile, Huntsville, and Birmingham, they were filibustering. And I was just kind of thinking to myself, why are they filibustering?
Self-defeating, it seems.
Yeah. Right? If they were getting money in their district, then, I mean, if I got money in my district, I would have filibustered the bill either. But it's just something I think that was necessary, at least for me to make that point for the people that I represent.
Yeah. Well, now you're past it. I guess we'll have to wait and see. You got 3 years left to this quadrennium. I mean, I don't know where you are, Senator, on the whole school choice discussion. We never had that talk before. But what do you think? Would it even work in a place like your district?
And so in my particular district, I would say no. And the reason being is we have great public schools in my Senate District 4. And the places that I've been to, and my heartstrings are pulled for the schools that I have went to visit and attend, you know, in downtown Montgomery, downtown Mobile, downtown Birmingham. And those are the places that need this on the Price Act, and I think it's a good thing for them. Now, if I'm speaking for the state of Alabama, I think it's the right thing to do. If I'm representing the people that brought me here, which is my district, then it would be a no vote. So that's a tough vote for every legislator to say, am I voting my district, or am I really looking at the 30,000-foot view for the state of Alabama? That's where I'm being pulled in both directions, because my heartstrings go out to the state, but the people that voted me here in my district. So it's tough.
Well, it's remarkable, because these discussions all the time about school choice. A lot of communities in Alabama, and I'm sure they're all scattered throughout your district as well. The local high school is the underpinning of the community. It's the Friday night lights. It's, you know, their parents went to that high school. Their grandparents went to that high school. They look at school, something like school choice, and that just seems like you guys in Montgomery meddling in their local affairs. So it could be like a problem would be you can't really create a one-size-fits-all approach to this, to something that's going to really work in every corner of the state, because it's not a monolith. People treat their local school system differently, just varies location to location.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I think you said it best. There's never one-size-fits-all in the state of Alabama or any state, even if you're a local city council like I used to be for 16 years before I got to the Senate. It's hard to do one size fits all, or just blanket everybody fits underneath this particular blanket. There are always exceptions. There's always different thoughts and patterns, and you know the way people use their particular district as far as the school choice. Some have private schools. Some already have charter schools. Some already allow transfers from like the county to the city. Some have the best public schools in the world, and they don't need any extra help. They want all the money going in public schools. Some have terrible public schools and want it all going to private schools. And so you can't do one bill fits all in the state of Alabama, because every area of the state of Alabama is different. And so it's hard for the legislator to make a bill that is a one-size-fits-all, which is what we have to do. So it goes statewide. But it's tough on certain people, and there's always exceptions and legislators that don't want it, and there's always legislators that do want it.
Well, so Representative Stanhag and I were talking about this earlier. There is a self-reliance mechanism in Alabama where people see their institutions failing, their schools failing. They think, well, I could do a better job myself. I'm not going to rely on the government. I'm not going to rely on the public schools to do this. I'm going to take care of this. And I think that's where a lot of this discussion about school choice comes from. So rather than create that mechanism where they could go in a school choice direction, it's clear you're going to have to fix the other side and restore trust and confidence in public education. If not school choice, then what?
Yeah. And so, you know, it depends on where you go. And there's certain parents that I know, there's even legislators up here that have their kids in private schools. And part of that also is accountability that you look at the public schools, they have to take particular tests that kind of keeps the, you know, everybody on the same level. In the private schools, we want that same accountability. And the gentleman that has his kids in the private schools are saying, listen, I pay for my child to go here. If I don't want them to be tested, then I don't want to test them, but I know that they have a higher level of standard than a public school. And I see his point on that. And he really changed my mind on the accountability of that. The key is for how do we really help the people that need it, but without affecting the public schools that are doing well, like my district.
It's really targeting the problem areas, and that makes sense. It's just, like you said, as long as we're in a conservative state with this, you know, sort of entrepreneurial, pioneering attitude, there's always going to be people who think, I don't like where the culture is going. I don't like what's being taught in schools. Are they watch, like, you know, my parents watch Fox News all the time. My dad was alive, but my mom now, you know, they think everything's turned against them. And if they were raising us, they might just go in another direction. You start looking at ways to show that you're trying to restore confidence and keep some of those outside influences out of the picture.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. You know, most people want to do that with competition. And competition is private schools, charter schools, Christian schools. And again, that's the prerogative of the parents that want to place their child or that student in those other schools. Usually you have to pay for that. What they're asking us to do now is take money out of the public school system to put towards those private schools. And there is a huge debate, do we do that or do we not? If they want to do that, then they should be paying it for it themselves, taking out of the public schools. Or you've got people say, listen, our public schools are terrible, so we want that money instead of going to public schools to the private. So again, one size does not fit all in state of Alabama. I do want to say this. Donnie Chastain, senator from South Alabama, the Wiregrass, did absolutely amazing at the well. We call him Coach. And he stood his ground. He stayed there all night and passed this bill. But he is the education policy chairman for the Senate. And I'm telling you, he was a rock star last night. He did a good job.
Well, he had it coming from both directions, right?
He did. He had it from everybody coming in all kind of different directions. And at the end of the night, he said, I'm passing this bill. And he did. And so I'm proud of him. I just wanted to give him some props on the radio.
Well, that's good to hear. Let's change gears here, I guess, now. Grocery tax seems to be the last big, I mean, obviously the budgets, but that did, the House gets that done. You get Memorial Day out of the way. Then are you expecting any surprises with these last few days?
You know, the last few days are always the tough bills that come up, whether we as a Republican caucus have to cloture the Democrats or versus the Democrats coming after us, because they really have a little bit of power since the last few days and they're, you know, would come after us. We have good working relationships, I think, in both houses right now on both sides of the aisle. We've been talking about, do we need to come back in 10 days afterwards so that we have to override any pocket vetoes that the governor might do, and right now I don't think we have to come back in 10 days. You know, we're trying to debate, do we just go ahead and do that last day and be done? So there's a lot of issues when we come back, like you're asking, that it's just going to be filler bills is what I call it. And I think that gets people, you know, started to get fired up and gets very emotional. And that's not what you want. But you started seeing a glimpse of that last night in both houses. And it's going to be that way, I think, for the next 2.5 weeks before we get out of here.
Well, you get the budget study. You don't have the BIR anymore. But we got 6 days counting today. Then next week you'll have 2 days because Memorial Day. They give you 2 left, and you have to have save 1 for the governor in case you need it for the pocket veto. So you get that spare day. I mean, you really, if you just throw that away, you really could be wrapped up relatively soon here, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, constitutionally, the only thing that the legislature has to do are the budgets. And so once those get done, honestly, we could go home. Everyone obviously puts in bills that they want to, that's a local bill, a constitutional amendment, or a, you know, a state statute, but they want to see their bills passed. And it gets to a point where it means something to every legislator that's here. And so by doing that, we have different directions that everyone's going in for those last few days. And again, that's why I think it gets very emotional, because they're trying to pass things that are personal to them.
Well, overall, Senator, do you think, just kind of grading this, I know there's still a few days to go here, but you got the economic incentives. That was big, done. I mean, it's probably more than anything, this was just kind of get a lot of the new lawmakers accustomed to the process. Do you think you got that accomplished? Do you think you checked enough boxes this year?
You know, I think that we have. I think it's really up to the majority leaders, Scott Stagan in the House, obviously, that does an unbelievable job for the House. Then you also have Clay Schofield that's in the Senate. Both of those guys have really helped coach along the freshmen, and there's a lot of them in the House. There's only four Republicans that are in the Senate, but they've made already substantial strides in understanding the system and where they're going. And this first year is really just to get their feet underneath them and make sure they don't have ship legs anymore where they're wobbling around. But they're already making contributions, I think, in both houses. So I think we have checked that box. At the same point, I think it's going to be interesting to see how they react in the next few days as things get, you know, emotional, which it's going to. I've always told people, if you come to the legislature and once you pass, the only thing that we have to do constitutionally is the budgets. Once we pass that, from the day one until the budgets pass, usually you're like playing a game. You're on offense, right?
Right.
You're trying to get everything passed. You're trying to get to the budgets. Once that budget is pretty much done, you know, and then you're playing defense, right? Because you're trying to push back bad bills that other people think are important, but it could affect your district. So you're starting to see that transition from offense to defense in everyone's mind of how they're going to handle their districts and what they're going to take care of. So I think that's part of why people start getting emotional about this, and because it's important to the legislators that are here to do that for their particular district or on a statewide level.
We got to wrap it up there. We're out of time, but Senator, thanks for stopping by this morning.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me, Jeff.
State Senator Garland Gudger of Coleman there. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table.